Urlacher, the Hall of Famer, our friend, joining Waddle and Sylvie right now.
We haven't gotten any more mature around here, Brian.
That's a good thing. Neither have I. I might have gone the other direction, actually.
There's nothing on Instagram that I enjoy more than your silly Instagram videos with the snake prank. I was telling Waddle about it. He doesn't know how to navigate Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not good.
Explain to our listeners what you do with the fake snake.
It's so easy here in Arizona. Even if not in Arizona, it's easy. I just take Zeke. His name is Zeke. He has a little spot in my bag where he stays. And I just put the snake on the ground by people's golf bags. So when they walk around the corner, they may see him. And there's a lot of profanity that comes out right after that. Did you see what I got him last week?
Who did you get last week?
He's not!
Oh, man! That's too easy. I am so dumb!
Brian Urlacher joined Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and of course,
playing the game.
Sylvie, you could tell he was very disappointed in himself for...
Well, not only did he fall for the D's Nuts game, but he tried to flip the script on Brian and didn't execute it correctly.
And
I am so dumb!
Yes, the... Vacationing Mark Silverman. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today.
Is he really vacationing, or is he?
He's got other things.
He's got other things going on.
To take care of. So
you found that quite humorous.
Yes, I did. Well, what the D's Nuts game?
The fact that he's
day?
Yeah. I just was curious as to why he wouldn't take the day. Like today'd be a perfect day if he had took the day off to go play golf, but he doesn't play golf, so maybe go to the roller coaster. You know, go up to Great America.
I just found it amusing when you just said, you know, he volunteered. I got a busy day tomorrow. I'm taking a day off. Got lots to accomplish. And then you just said, what do you got going on? And then it felt like he was being very evasive with his answers.
Also, do you think he's got something else happening?
No, I don't. I just feel like he got, you know, his head out in front of the skis there and said to himself, you know what, maybe it's not as busy as I'm leading myself to believe. But, hey. Take your day off. Enjoy it, man. It's a beautiful Friday.
Have a cold drink and pay your bills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever it takes.
I had no problem with it. I just was amused by the fact that he didn't seem to, you know, when you start listing things off, got to drop the car off at the dealership.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an activity. I wouldn't necessarily call it like a...
What were you expecting him to say that filled his busy day?
I don't know. And here's the thing. I was like, boy, I was laughing pretty hard when he tried to
clean
out
the garage, maybe?
Open
how about
the
that?
Mail. Send some texts.
That's exactly it. And I was like, am I making too much of this?
So you, Tyler, sounds like you had the same response. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, busy day, I think, like, oh, like, I gotta...
Like, gotta drive to like, Indianapolis.
I had to help my parents move, or I had to go, like... I don't know, like maybe he's building a swing set for Mason and Braxton. I don't know. Like
painting
that's a
garage.
Busy day.
Painting the garage.
Cleaning the garage. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, that's all. And then gotta pay some bills, gotta text some friends, gotta prepare for the show that I'm taking the day off of. That's all. That was amused. That's all.
I don't want any part of this heat coming back on
too
Monday.
Bad. You're
it's
already
yours.
In it, whether you like it or
this
not,
all
my
yours.
Friend.
I don't give a rat's ass how you spend your day on your day off.
Neither
it's your day off.
I can still laugh though when someone says, hey, what do you got going on? That's all. Anyway.
Maybe he's at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Possibly. Who knows? Does he have enough time, though, with all the activities he's got to accomplish?
Well done.
All right. So I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today on Waddle and Sylvie.
We're going to talk some football,
Brian,
huh?
Yes. That was Brian Urlacher yesterday. If you missed it, check out the podcast. Brian is always entertaining. And I have to... And you know
it's
what?
Fun to reconnect with him.
Absolutely. It's good to hear him enjoying life.
Yes.
I think that's the only... That was my takeaway. Brian Urlacher is absolutely enjoying life.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got a great family. Mm-hmm. He plays golf. He stays in shape. He rides his bike. He's a Hall of Famer, for crying out loud. Yeah, it's good to be Brian.
He tends to his farm animals.
Yes.
That also was absolutely hysterical.
I think was the highlight of the show for you yesterday was when he named his pet animals.
It absolutely was. So we'll get to Waddle's list of most important Bears for the 2022 season here in a moment. But if you missed it, again, check out the podcast. The Brian Urlacher interview is there for you on the ESPN Chicago app. But Brian enlightened us that he has a lot of farm animals at the house, and he named them.
They're all minis. Like, we have two mini donkeys. We have Donnie, and we have Axel. And then we have two mini cows. There's Sophie and Teddy.
Mini cows. I didn't know there were mini cows.
There are. And my wife, she loves them, so we had to get them. Anyway, and we have five chickens. We have Lizzie, Dr. Pecker, I got the name Dr. Pepper, and she's a girl. And we have Goldie. Goldie's really pretty. Who am I leaving out? Henley. And then we have Samantha, who we thought was a girl, but is actually a boy.
Oh, here's the question. The good news about Samantha is it very easily changes to Sam, but Brian still called the male chicken, I guess, you know, the rooster. He called him Samantha. So are they sticking with Samantha? I personally would just drop the Samantha and go with Sam if I discovered.
Yeah, but that's not the animal that got you to cackling.
No, absolutely.
It was Dr. Pecker.
Dr. Pecker, who Brian named, he volunteered, named, that was his choice. A phenomenal name for a chicken.
Yeah. Which, by the way, he slyly drops in, she's a girl, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I loved it. Dr. Pecker, awesome. Play on Dr. Pepper. You've got yourself a chicken, probably pecking away at people. I loved it. I think that could be.
And you're a child.
That could be the best animal name I've heard in a long, long time. It may not be the greatest ever, but I challenge people to give me a better one.
Yeah, he said it just kind of casually as well, which
absolutely.
Was a great delivery.
Knew. And you guys cackled, that we laughed behind the glass.
Yeah.
He knew that was going to be one that
he
pleased
gotcha.
The crowd.
He
so,
gotcha.
Dr. Pecker, is that the best name of an animal you've ever heard from me? I think it is the top of my list, personally. You have a better
animal
name?
Yeah, no, I don't. My dog's name's Lola. I mean, that's kind of boring.
My dog's name is Autumn. She's red, so it makes sense. And she was born in the fall, so there's a reason for it.
But isn't Autumn summer I was thinking August. Never mind. So Autumn.
Autumn was born in October, so she's a fall dog. So that's why my she's a girl. My wife was adamant that we name her Autumn. I was a proponent of
you wanted to name her Dr. Pecker.
I wanted to name her Dog. Which is D-O-G. That was my suggestion, but I was overruled by my wife. She did not like that. We went with Autumn.
I think she made a good decision.
But honestly, Dr. Pecker was never in play.
No,
I thought of that. Might have gone with that one.
Well, it wouldn't make sense for a dog.
Correct.
I mean, it makes sense for a chicken.
Yes, definitely.
I get it.
So, Brian Urlacher, Hall of Famer when it comes to football and naming pets. I would say that.
Okay.
All right. So, Waddle, you have so far, we've tasked you with coming up with the most important Bears for the 2022 season.
Uh-huh.
And up to this point, we have given plenty of folks out there things to chew on. You've unveiled number 10. 10A and 10B, if you will.
That's correct.
Robert Quinn and David Montgomery.
For quite obvious reasons.
Number 9 was Velus Jones Jr., the rookie wide receiver. Number 8 was Jaquan Brisker, the safety that the Bears drafted in the third round.
Who I believe still is not signed.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yep. It looks like he might be holding out of camp for a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Kyler Gordon was your 7th most important Bear this season, the rookie cornerback. Number 6 was Jalen Johnson, who you pointed out has plenty of importance on this defense. And
one interception in the last 2 years. I'd like to see that number go up in year 3.
And number 5, a playmaker who Bears fans, I think, are in. I would say Bears
in
fans
lust with.
Are, yes, that's a beautiful way to describe it. In lust with, hoping that he can continue to do what he did last season, and maybe, just maybe, I think if Justin Fields is going to have a breakthrough season, it's going to be paramount that number 5 Darnell Mooney have a better season. So that leads us to today's 4th most important Bear.
ESPN 1000 presents Tom Waddle's top 10 most important Bears for the 2022 season.
Well, that's just great. You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Number 4.
All right, what are your guesses? If you've walked by my chair, maybe you saw who I have written as number 4.
I did not.
Okay.
I did not see who you
have.
So
there's been no
four.
Peeking. Who would you guess would be number 4 on my list?
Interesting. So I don't want to spoil future lists, so I'm going to make one guess here.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and say Roquan Smith.
Okay. Roquan Smith is Meller's guess. Charlie, what do you think?
In the break, I told Tyler, I bet it's Lucas Patrick.
Lucas Patrick, the center, starting center, played guard with the Green Bay Packers, will play center for your Chicago Bears. Tyler, who do you believe is my number 4 pick for most important and the 4th most important Bear for the upcoming season?
I'm going to go with Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet is the correct answer. Well done, Tyler. Cole Kmet, year 3 I think we would all agree it's time for him to start paying some rather large dividends as the former 43rd pick of the draft 3 years ago. This past season, he was more involved, 60 catches for 612 yards, but zero touchdowns. I would suggest to you that with the Bears team not being good and trailing quite a bit, that a lot of those numbers were accumulated in so-called garbage time. Every huddle needs two offensive game-changing receivers or pass catchers. It can be a tight end and a receiver. It can be two receivers. It can be two tight ends. However, you need two guys out on the flank that can change games. I think that Darnell Mooney, as I obviously we told you last week at number five, is very important to this offense. I can't imagine anyone would think that Cole Kmet doesn't need to step up and make a significant impact. And we've been told that he and Justin Fields are, you know, have found their rhythm together recently and that things are starting to develop and blossom. I think it's very important for this team, for this quarterback, and for Cole Kmet himself to take that next step. I have to say to you, I've been less than thrilled by what I've seen. He's a good kid. He's a hard worker. He's a specimen physically. I think he's been a little sticky in his route running.
Yes.
I don't think there's been a ton of separation. Maybe that is how they've used him. Maybe Luke Getsy comes in here and finds ways to get the most out of Cole Kmet, or maybe Cole Kmet just blossoms. Cole Kmet, 23 years old, so still young. Like I said to you yesterday, Velus Jones, there's a good chance that Velus Jones is going to be the youngest guy in that huddle in terms of offensive weapons.
You mean oldest?
Oldest, yes. At 25.
Yes.
So still time for Cole Kmet to prove his worth, but my fourth most important bear in the upcoming season is Cole Kmet.
I agree with where you've put him on this. I am a little bit more pessimistic, and you're right. He's 23 years old, so certainly he has an opportunity to go ahead and prove me wrong. I think what you've pointed out, though, you know, having maybe an inability over the last couple of years to create that separation concerns me. And 60 catches for 612 yards, you know,
no touchdowns.
If someone's throwing, like, the problem was, you know, Allen Robinson didn't see a lot of targets last year. Darnell Mooney had 81 catches. Somebody in an NFL offense has to catch the ball, right?
Yeah.
And when Mooney and Kmet in 2021, they were your top two pass catchers. They only combined for 141 catches.
And
that's not ideal.
And I think you would agree as well. Aside from maybe the couple of catches in the Steelers game, there weren't a ton of
eye-popping,
moments for him in that offense. Look, this is why I say it's important. If we get through year three and you haven't seen significant progress and he's not really kind of impressed you, with a lot of these guys, you got to start thinking about what's next.
And you're right. You're crossing your fingers and hoping that Ryan Poles looks at this roster and someone like Cole Kmet, yes, there's still opportunities for him to go ahead and make some plays, but this year is hugely important for him. I think, like you said, because he was, you know, a second round pick, but he was the first tight end drafted in his draft. So there's expectations here and opportunity for him to make some hay.
Here's the thing, too. Like, I'll give Jalen Johnson. I put Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet, who, by the way, were in the same draft class, right? I put them in the same category. Like, if they haven't distinguished themselves or proven themselves to be difference-making players after 3 years, then if you're Ryan Poles, you've got to start thinking about, now I have to start looking for, whether it's free agency or in the draft, guys to replace these guys.
Absolutely.
Because I can't continue to go to the well with a tight end who is a huge component to this offense with a guy that hasn't really distinguished himself. Now I'm looking to replace guys. And that's not what you want to do for a roster that's devoid of talent. So, look, I'm not telling you with this list that I'm predicting that Cole Kmet is having a huge year. What I'm telling you is that he's the fourth most important player on this roster this year, in my opinion. He has to take that next step. Because if he does, and the same with Jalen Johnson, then you have to. Listen, the average NFL career is less than 4 years. If you haven't proven that you can be one of our key guys after 3 years, and we've spent second-round picks on both of you, guess what the new regime does? They start looking for guys to replace you. So Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson need to prove to Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus that they don't need to be replaced. In fact, they're key components for this organization going forward.
Now, I would be stunned.
This is the reason why you may or may not find Roquan Smith on my list.
Okay, that's fair, because he's already Roquan Smith, a polished veteran who you know what you're going to get with him. I can see the thought process why he might not be.
He may not.
I understand that.
There's a position that has not been included on this list just yet.
Okay. I would be surprised. You mentioned how the average NFL career is less than 4 years. I would be surprised if Cole Kmet doesn't make it to that point because of his draft pedigree as a second round pick and somebody who's already caught 60 catches, had a 60 catch season.
Oh, he'll be in the league.
He'll be in the league for, past this current contract, as long as injury doesn't, prevent him from doing so. But as a guy who is a local product who cheered for the Bears growing up.
I played on the team with his father, Frank. I were teammates.
I'm really hoping that he can go ahead and, be a guy, but from what I've seen on the field right now, he's left me wanting more.
Look, I think at the very least, you could find space for Cole Kmet for years being a secondary tight end.
But
what you need him to be is one of these guys that is a difference-making tight end.
But let's be honest, too. Is Cole Kmet really, if for whatever reason he doesn't prove that he's better, more than that, this is where it's weird because the team that drafts you, if you don't show them something, sometimes there's that hard feelings of, if the Bears see his value differently than he maybe sees it, can you go out and get more on the free agent market from a team that doesn't necessarily know you as well as the team that drafted you? You know what I'm saying? So I think it's paramount that he really have a good season this year, because if not, I don't know if his future will be long for the Bears.
I'll give you a list of tight ends in the league in terms of yards, receiving yards. Mark Andrews was the top receiving tight end in the league. He had 107 catches for 1,361 yards. He was Lamar Jackson's top.
I was just going to say, though, I view him a little differently than most tight ends, only because that offense is so different than most of the rest of the league.
That's fine, but you would love to see Cole Kmet if this offense was geared more towards a quarterback that was a dual threat. You'd love to see Cole Kmet come up with anything close to what Mark Andrews. And I would suggest to you that Andrews isn't even one of these Kelce or Kyle Pitts types of tight ends.
But when you throw the ball, when Lamar Jackson throws the ball up to him down the seam, he is somebody who uses his height and his catch radius to his advantage. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mark Andrews has made some big plays down the field.
He has.
More so than most tight ends. But you're right. In terms of physical, the ability to create separation, Andrews does so with his catch radius more than his speed.
Next, Travis Kelce had 1,125 yards at the tight end position. Kyle Pitts had over 1,000 yards. Mike Gesicki for the Dolphins is also a guy that you would hope, maybe that Cole Kmet could be. George Kittle is a guy that had 910 yards.
Gesicki, though, lines up a lot of times in the slot, and he's not really, your prototypical
tight end. He's 6'6 and 200, almost 250.
I know he's had an issue.
But that's who,
can Cole Kmet line up in the slot?
He should, yes. That's who you drafted him to be. You didn't draft him to be an inline tight end. You drafted him to be a guy that can move around. Because he's not going to move a ton of people off the line of scrimmage.
That's fair, but I really haven't seen him put that on display.
This is the problem. Yeah. Right. No, that's the point, is that he has to become one of these guys that can do that stuff. And I would say, look, maybe I'm going to be a little bit more patient with him than others would be because he's now got somebody new.
He's got
Luke Getz. He's got a new offensive coordinator. It's going to be a new approach. Let's see if that spurs some creativity from him or spurs a better performance from him. But again, I feel the same about him as I do about Jalen Johnson, as I repeat myself. After a point, especially with a new regime, you had 3 years in the system. If you don't prove that you can be a solid core piece, they're going to start looking to move on from you and replace you. So it's a really important year for Cole Kmet.
And with Luke Getsy, like you said, calling the plays now, he'll have a different play caller, hopefully taking advantage of what he does well. Let's try Brian, who's in Lyle, who has a thought on the Bears tight ends. What's up, Brian? You're on Waddle and Sylvie. Miller in for Sylvie today.
Yeah, I was just wondering what Tom thought of James O'Shaughnessy. He's a tight end out of he went to Naperville North. He was on Jacksonville Jaguars for a few years.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not up to speed with James O'Shaughnessy. I do see, you know, that he's been a guy that's been in the league for several years.
Local kid, grew up in Naperville, as he said. He spent the last 5 seasons in Jacksonville, was drafted by Kansas City. Now, most importantly, Brian has the best birthday in the world, born on January 14th.
Oh, so I would assume that that's your birthday
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely, my friend. So he's got that going for him. Outside of that, he really has never been a huge passing threat.
And I would say to you that, like, look, it doesn't mean he can't be a player and contributor on your team, but if you're expecting him to take that next, you've got to get that step forward from Cole Kmet before you can from James O'Shaughnessy. And I don't think that they're asking O'Shaughnessy to do. You get rid of Jesper Horsted, you bring in James O'Shaughnessy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you get rid of one of your other tight ends. You've got to play with, you know, virtually 3 or 4 tight ends.
Sure.
So you have to have guys to play the position, but
And O'Shaughnessy's not going to be, you know, I think he's more of a blocker for the most part. I know that Jacksonville last year went out of their way and traded for Dan Arnold because they weren't getting much production from their tight ends.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect O'Shaughnessy to be a huge threat in the passing game.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot it's going to, you know.
Look, the table is set for Cole Kmet with regard to there are going to be opportunities for him. If he wants to have a long career here in Chicago, this is the year. You've got Darnell Mooney. You've got other different receivers.
Younger receivers.
But you also, you have an opportunity, if you're Cole Kmet, to establish yourself as a focal point in this passing game going forward.
I think he's going to see a lot of targets. And so, like you said, the opportunity for him to pile up some numbers will be there. Will he be more than just a guy, though, you know, who grabs the, you know, the 8 to 10 yard catch in the middle of the field? Listen, and there's value to being the safety valve for your quarterback, right? If he becomes a guy who Justin Fields can trust, you know, like the Jay Novacek type,
sure,
you know, in years past, who... There's a lot of value in that, and you can have a long career in this league. I'm just hoping he can be a little bit more dynamic than he's been the past couple seasons.
I'm with you on that.
Probably the reason why you made him the fourth most important player.
He's my fourth most important player for the upcoming 2022 season for your Chicago Bears.
I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today, who's got the day off. Waddle and Sylvie, you know that every day at 3:30, it's a time for us to take a spin inside Waddle's world. We'll do that next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at robots in the air. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
All right. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. The White Sox lineup is out.
Did you see how Tyler did that, though? He played the Step Brothers Waddle's World Open, I think. Probably because we became best friends in the first segment.
That is true.
Show,
that's well so. Done. Well done, Tyler.
Honestly, you're well connecting done. More dots than my brain was.
Just take the credit.
Yeah, like, that's right. This is one of those things. You tip your cap to Meller and say, thank you, sir.
You just say, Meller, I'm glad you got that.
Yes,
we're on the
sir,
same
yes,
wavelength.
So the White Sox lineup is out?
It is indeed, my friend.
Would you like to read it to me so I don't have to
absolutely, so you can
squint.
Put those cheaters away. Absolutely. All right, so... The White Sox starting lineup is out for the first game of the second half of the Major League Baseball season for them. Leading off, Tim Anderson playing shortstop. No surprise there. Batting second, third baseman Yoan Moncada. Batting third will be your right fielder, Andrew Vaughn. Hitting cleanup, first baseman Jose Abreu. Back in the lineup and hitting fifth will be the catcher, Yasmani Grandal.
He is back and activated, huh?
He is indeed also back. In the lineup will be your designated hitter, Eloy Jimenez. Hitting seventh and playing left field is A.J. Pollock. Second base will be manned by Josh Harrison. And playing center field, Adam Engel, which means Luis Robert is not back in the lineup.
What do we know
today
about Luis Robert's situation?
We don't know a bunch. We just know that he was struggling to man center field the last few days.
Had some vision issues?
Lightheadedness.
Lightheadedness?
Yes, before he was given the days off on Saturday and Sunday last weekend. So He has not returned to the lineup tonight, so we'll see. They have a doubleheader tomorrow, the White Sox do. If he, you know, we'll see if there's any corresponding move. But right now, he has not been placed on the injured list, but they theoretically could put him on the injured list, and it could be retroactive to Saturday's game. So we'll see what happens from here. But that's a little, discouraging for White Sox fans. We're hoping, I think, that they had figured out what the issue was, and we're hoping that he would be back in the lineup. So that is the disappointing news for Sox fans.
That presentation by Mellor pretending to be a doctor, or rather today's injury update, is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Don't let COVID-19 sideline you this season. Rush encourages everyone to get vaccinated, wear a mask, and don't delay your care in person or virtually. Rush is here for you. Visit rush.edu. So Grandal is back behind the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And
Eloy
is DH. I would expect that Eloy will get the majority of his at-bats from the DH position the remainder of the season, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would think so, especially, you know, Adam Engel playing a really good center field in Luis Robert's absence. So you feel like you get strong defensive play from him.
Yeah.
So assuming Luis Robert gets right here in the not-too-distant future, I would expect, yes, as you pointed out, Eloy Jimenez should be, you know, for the most part, I think, your majority DH-er.
There has been, in the last half hour, I believe the mayor's office has released an artist's rendition.
Yes.
Is that the best way to describe it?
Sure.
Of what the new Soldier Field with a dome will look like. I saw Bleck tweet something, too, and I have to agree with him that it doesn't look horrible, but it doesn't solve any of the issues that the Chicago Bears are looking to solve with their move to Arlington Heights. But yeah. I guess the first rendition of what they're trying to do is now out. And is that at Crane Chicago Business?
Correct.
That is correct.
And so, yeah, it's fine. It looks good. But again, as an artist's rendition, I've seen plenty of great stadium mock-ups and drawings.
Sure.
That have looked great, and then
I don't know how many extra seats are in there. I don't know what sight lines are. I don't know how that drawing addresses any of the access to the stadium.
Where I don't see any, you know, I don't see any mock-ups of additional parking.
No,
I don't know where you would create the land for the additional parking.
I don't see a contract selling the stadium to the Bears either.
You know what I don't see? I don't see an accompanying casino that the Whites that the Bears could build.
Correct.
So. It's great. It's a great photo. I don't know if it really addresses what the Bears' issues
are. It doesn't.
Here's a little.
It doesn't address anything that they're looking for.
This is one thing, too, that I'm contemplating here, and maybe I'm looking too deep into it, but I would guess this is a hard-top dome and not a retractable roof. Because look at, they have like this little amphitheater out there.
Yeah.
You'd imagine that'd be for concerts.
Yeah. I would also, listen, I didn't get a chance to look at it closely either, but it looks like it's like glass, right? That it's kind of like a...
Like Minnesota's.
Yeah. Well, Minnesota's isn't a, it's a, you're right.
I guess,
retractable, Minnesota's, but you're 100% right. It's all glass. Yes. So you're exactly right. Just like Minnesota's.
Well, this is where too, you know, there's either is it the glass with a few windows? I don't even know because it's only one photo, so it's really hard to get your arms around what this is exactly supposed to be showing people out there. You know, is this anything more than something to try and is it anything more than an election push for the mayor?
I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, look, anybody that has followed this closely. We'll understand that this doesn't address the issues that are at the center of why the Bears want to move to Arlington Heights. They've got a building out there, a parcel of land out there. They can build a stadium that will have significantly more seats, more capacity. You could have host a number of different events. The access will be better. It will be different. It's just they will be able to own their own stadium out there. They can sell naming rights. I mean, there's just so much they can do out there with that project that isn't addressed by just putting a lid on Soldier Field.
So yes. Deeper into the article, it does say that one artist rendering obtained by Cranes says that the new structure will have a movable roof.
Okay, so
it
will be
resembles AT&T Stadium in Texas.
Will it have more than like four bathrooms?
No. No, they're going to have to use some of the existing bathroom space for... No, I don't know.
You know what I do like about this artist rendering is there's no traffic on Lakeshore Drive. It's completely empty. So that's
they're not addressing some of the bigger issues. I don't know if you've delved deep into this article, guys, but my assumption is these are really cool pictures, but it doesn't address the issues that are at the forefront of why the Bears were wanting to move to Arlington Heights to begin with.
Now the article does say that the city appears ready to bargain over potentially lucrative naming rights. So,
I'm advising my clients to
hold out,
to respectfully decline. Thank you for the artist rendition. Where was this a while ago?
Sure.
I didn't want it.
Yeah, I don't know. The reality is that what the Bears have the ability to do in Arlington Heights, I just don't think it's possible, you know, where Soldier Field is. And so, now that the Bears seem like they've already embraced the idea of moving out of the city, I don't know if there's anything the city can do to make it...
I hope not. Yeah, well, I hope that the Bears decide to go through with what they look like they're going to go through with, because it's the right decision for them.
Yes.
That's all. Speaking of decisions, Jeff Agrest of the, I believe Jeff's with the, I want to
Sun-Times.
Sun-Times, yes. I want to make sure I give the correct, what do we call that
accreditation
word? Accreditation. Same thing, right? But they both work. Jason Benetti, our buddy Jason Benetti, in talks with Fox to become the number two college football announcer, joining Brock Huard in the booth. And then Andrew Marchand of the New York Post added... At Fox, Benetti would also call Major League Baseball games and college basketball, according to sources. He will stay on as the White Sox play-by-play guy. He won't call Peacock games after this season. And Marchand said he'll have more for you on Monday about this. But
you can.
Thumbs up to Jason Benetti. Go get what's out there for you, because you deserve it, brother.
We were talking off air. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we do hear Jason Benetti calling a World Series game on a national broadcast.
Would not shock me in the slightest.
And this would open the door to that becoming a possibility somewhere down the road. Of course, Joe Davis will have the call this year for Fox. You heard him with John Smoltz on the All-Star game on Tuesday night. You can hear Jason Benetti tonight with Len Kasper right here on ESPN 1000 as they call the White Sox and Guardians game, because the White Sox game is only being televised on Apple TV.
Yes.
So Connor McKnight, who is joining us at 5:30, will have your pre and post right here on ESPN 1000. And Len Kasper and Jason Benetti will be on the call right here on ESPN 1000.
Well done. Connor will tell us what he's got on the schedule this weekend as well, because he's going to be a busy young Scotsman.
Yes, he will. And we'll ask him to give us the breakdown of what teabagging actually is.
Okay. J.A. Scott tweeted us, Meller, and says the Vikings roof isn't quote-unquote glass. It's actually what is called as ETFE. The Rams and Raiders stadium use that as well. Okay, you're right. I don't know the... It would be comparable to glass, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's something you can see through as opposed to an... Is opaque something you can't see through?
That is correct.
Okay, yep. So instead of being opaque, it is something that you will be able to see through.
Translucent.
Translucent, thank you.
That left the light through.
Young and smart. Young and smart. That's what Tyler
is. All sorts of words today. Yeah.
And that's Charlie. Charlie's young and smart, too.
Mm-hmm. We're just old and dumb.
Yeah, old and dumb over here.
That's okay.
Speaking of broadcasting, the conversation earlier this week was about Charles Barkley sitting down and having a conversation with the LIV Tour. This was an article from ESPN.com yesterday. Charles calling out selective outrage over the LIV Golf amid reported interest in hiring him. I believe he sat down with him yesterday or today. He was going to play in a pro-am.
I thought it was Wednesday night.
Maybe that is the case. But Charles has acknowledged meeting with LIV Golf CEO Greg Norman about a possible broadcasting role while pushing back at what he called selective outrage toward the Saudi-funded series. Barkley could receive a LIV offer from Norman after they met in Atlanta, you're right, on Wednesday. But the Basketball Hall of Famer told the New York Post that it would need to be highly lucrative for him to walk away from his reported eight-figure income as an NBA analyst for TNT and spokesperson for multiple companies. This is what Charles said or told the Post yesterday. In a perfect scenario, I would love to do both, which I would love to see him do both for him. TNT and the Live coverage. I don't know how Turner's sponsors are going to feel about it. I know there is going to be some blowback. Barkley said he has heard from multiple sponsors following reports of his meeting with Norman. Live Golf has come under scrutiny, obviously, for its ties to the Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. Barkley said, they checked in with me, what I told Subway, Capital One, and Dick's Sporting Goods. I said, wait a minute, I haven't signed anything. I haven't met with the guy. Let's let this thing play out before you call me all upset. He went on to say he told Greg Norman, listen, they are making up words like blood money and sports washing. Barkley said, we have all taken blood money and we all have sports washed something, so I don't like those words, to be honest with you. If you are in pro sports, you are taking some type of money from not a great cause. Barkley told the Post he will play in the Pro-Am at the next Live Golf event scheduled for next week in New Jersey.
And it's interesting, if anyone wants to go back and check out the podcast, Will Bond, who joined you guys on Wednesday, gave us some insight. He admitted he's had conversations via text, and with Charles and some other confidants about this whole idea,
yeah,
and some of the backlash that Charles Barkley was likely to get. A lot of the same backlash that the golfers who have joined the LIV Tour have seen. It is really...
Look, he works for TNT. They cover the NBA. Yeah. The NBA has a relationship with China. There are unsavory aspects to that situation as well.
I don't even... That is, if you... You know, people who have an issue with that, you feel free to have your opinion about it.
Of course. You can be as outraged as you want, but...
Because I think Tyler made note now that the LIV is potentially infringing on sports that people really, truly... Have, like, I don't want to say...
Well, this is where our conversation segued. It went from this to, Tyler pointed out, I think someone was mentioned, was it Mike Florio from mm-hmm. Pro Football Talk was talking that, what if, he was playing the what if game, right?
Yes.
What if the Saudis decided they wanted to create a competing commodity that would go up against the NFL?
Yes, essentially...
That's an interesting conversation.
Yes, because not since the USFL... tried to do so in the mid-80s, has the NFL ever really seen a competitor? And if the LIV Tour wanted to create some type of LIV football league, boy, oh boy, they have the funds to make it interesting.
I find it it's a longer conversation than just making a few comments here, but I find it significantly more difficult for that potential situation to actually take place and flourish. More so than the golf situation, because the golfers are independent contractors.
Sure.
The players, you're dealing with a significantly larger number of guys.
Yes.
Not an individual sport.
You need 22 just to get an offense and defense out on the field. So, yeah, you'd have to have. But could you poach some of the stars?
Probably, what the USFL did?
Probably not. Exactly. Probably not the quarterbacks. Not most quarterbacks, but... Could you entice maybe some running backs or some wide receivers?
You could. Listen.
Who maybe don't necessarily get paid like quarterbacks do if you broke the bank for that.
As an NFL fan, I don't want anything to come in and disrupt what they've got going. Because as a viewer and as a fan of the league, I like having all of the best players in the world playing right here. And I'm in love with the NFL.
I agree. I think
from a pure... Open market, free market, scenario or perspective, the NFL players should have their right to shop their services to another league if that other league actually becomes a viable entity and is willing to incur the cost.
Maybe wouldn't it be interesting if a league that LIV wanted to fund, they could create a league where... It was a possibility when the NFL and the NFLPA were potentially in the midst of a contract negotiation, giving the NFLPA a little bit of bargaining power that they don't normally have. That would be very fascinating.
Again, I don't think that this is nearly as likely. I don't know that it works as easily as golf does, because again, those guys are all independent contractors. They're playing. It's an individual sport. It's not a team sport. But it's an interesting concept. Nothing that I think that will shock the NFL world anytime soon. But something we're talking about when we have more time.
No doubt about
when
it.
When we come back, a little Florida or Ohio, and maybe a nonsensical story that I have saved for you all week
and maybe,
as well.
Maybe a pair of White Sox tickets.
That's a good point.
How about that?
Next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Be the seventh caller right now at 312-332-3776 here at ESPN 1000 for your chance to win White Sox tickets and see them take on the Oakland Athletics on July 29th at Guaranteed Rate Field. That is next Friday. Today, of course, is Friday.
Yes!
Which means, Waddle, that on Fridays we play the game, Florida or Ohio.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals.
Come over here and read this article real quick.
Random stabbings.
Look at this.
Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State
look
as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
We're having our own little show.
Yeah, you guys having fun there without us?
Yeah, we are. We're going to bring this to you.
What are we need a quick Florida, Ohio, so we can get to that.
All right. Highly intoxicated woman arrested for stabbing minivan with a pitchfork.
Whoa. No, not that fast. I can't. Say it again.
Highly intoxicated woman was arrested for allegedly stabbing a minivan with a pitchfork after she was spotted trying to sell teddy bears behind a supermarket.
What?
Lisa Sloan.
That's Florida crazy.
Lisa Sloan was hauled off to the county jail Tuesday afternoon following the incident at the grocery store. Manager said that Sloan was observed walking around with a black whip and a pitchfork, used the weapon to pierce a minivan, but the owner of the vehicle did not want police involved and offered to pay for the damage himself.
Wait a second.
Pitchfork.
Why did he,
teddy bears.
What's that?
Go ahead. Pitchfork, teddy bears. What else?
Pitchfork, teddy bears, guy probably doesn't have insurance.
Why does the guy not want his car fixed?
Doesn't have insurance.
I'm going Tampa. Like, crazy things happen in Tampa.
I'm going to say Pitchfork Farm in Ohio.
No chance.
Charles?
No chance.
I'm gonna go with Waddle here. Let's go with Florida.
It took place in Mineola, Florida.
Yeah, you're the one that plays the analytics game the time.
You know, I always say though, when you both say Ohio, I always put Florida because the odds are in my favor.
You're just a contrarian.
No,
that's all you are.
I'm an analytics. I'm not a contrarian.
You're a contrarian.
All right.
You think you're an analytics guy, but you're not because if you were a true analytics guy,
Florida or Ohio,
yes,
my column.
Is. Yeah, you, you. You, if you were a true analytics guy,
I would play Florida every time.
You would predict that the White Sox would not win 40 games in the next 70.
That's not the way you can't just say analytics and then say all the White Sox are 500. They will not win the division. That's not how it works. You can't just say analytics. We need to get to this headline. Read the headline. The head
NASA scientist explains why astronauts should not masturbate in zero gravity.
I like how you your tone, your volume.
I was going to use a different.
It was a good newsman tone.
Yeah.
Masturbation in space is a no-no.
Astronauts have been warned against doing said act in space over fears that female astronauts may become impregnated by stray fluids. That's all I'm reading. I'm not reading anymore.
I don't. That seems a bit. Really? Really? This is a huge concern?
I'm just saying, like, this is a NASA. This is a NASA scientist talking about it.
I mean, that's really threading the needle there.
I mean, yes. I mean, boy, this is.
I'm just saying to you, like, that.
You want to talk about playing the probabilities. Now, my bigger concern would be.
I'm with you. I would not think that would be an issue.
I wouldn't be so concerned about, you know, impregnating future female astronauts. I'd be more concerned about cleanup in space.
Okay, I think it's time that we move on and maybe we address some of the other football topics that we discussed earlier in the day.
Is that a loogie? No. All right.
Play the analytics game with us getting fired or not getting fired right now and try to find a way to thread that needle without us losing gigs.
We thread the needle by changing topics to the quarterback rings game. We'll do that next.